Welcome, everybody. This is Charles Cook. This is the Immigration Hour, and welcome to it today. Today is June 28th, 2023, and today's edition is focusing on DACA, DACA 2023. Where are we, and where are we going? The reason to address DACA now, a mere 2 weeks after its 11th birthday, is really kind of important, because there have been two recent Supreme Court decisions which bear directly on the pending motions for summary judgment in front of Judge Hannon in Texas. These are really, really important to talk about, and I want to just dump right in. But let's just tell you where we are procedurally. Everybody knows, of course, is the state of Texas in a case called Texas versus U.S., joined by the states of Alabama, Arkansas, Louisiana, Nebraska, for some ungodly reason, South Carolina, West Virginia, Kansas. That's terrible, by the way, that Kansas is doing that. Mississippi, Maine, although I think Maine must be out. Yeah, Maine terminated. Maine's not in here anymore. Looks like Mississippi has gotten out of the case as well, too, because they have no lawyers on the case. And looks like Kansas has gotten out of the case. So they're gone. Little unclear. Looks like, yeah, there's, so let's see. The other people are still there. Who else is ill in it versus U.S.? And of course, Nielsen, of course, but she's long gone. But where are we procedurally speaking? There are so many interveners in this case. Kind of crazy. Kind of going through Pacer here. But where are we? Well, June 1st, Judge Hannon had oral argument on the motions for summary judgment. Now, this motion for summary judgment is really kind of important. By the way, did you know that Tom Homan is one of the plaintiffs in this case, I think? No, he's not. I'm wrong. He used to be. He's one of the defendants in the case. But think about this. Oral argument was a month ago, now 4 weeks ago. Two major cases have come down from the Supreme Court that bear directly on Texas versus U.S. government. What are those? First, of course, is not U.S. versus Texas, by the way. That's the one that came out this last week. But rather Holland versus Bracken. Holland versus Bracken is a really important case. Because it goes directly to the issue of whether or not it's really the standing, right? So Texas, in their amended complaint, didn't really allege standing. Now, originally they had talked about, hey, in an original DACA case that they lost, they talked about, hey, we have to give driver's licenses to people and that costs us money. Well, in the supplemental complaint, in the follow-on complaint, the operative complaint in the case, there is no pleading on that. And it really wasn't until the day before oral argument that the state of Texas filed a surreply or a request for a surreply, unclear whether the court is, I don't think the court's ruled on that yet, of accepting it, where they now apparently allege, oh, yeah, we have to give driver's licenses, we don't need to plead that. Well, I would suggest that the government's filing in Hallett goes a long, long way towards cutting that off and saying, no, wait a second, you can't talk about that. You can't do that. So Hallett versus Bracken says this. It talks about who can sue, what is standing in the case. And I think that's vitally important to really take a deep dive into, because the Hallen case is talks about what's called parens patriae. Basically, a state cannot sue. Well, the argument is that, hey, the state is acting on behalf of its citizens. And the Supreme Court said a state does not have standing. That's what Bracken says. State does not have standing to bring an action against the federal government on behalf of its citizens. There's no equal protection claim there. The court in Bracken also held that in that case, direct pocketbook injuries associated with the cost of record keeping, providing notice of proceedings. This to Howland is the case that went to the issue of adoptions. Texas cannot be the plaintiff. Texas cannot sue the federal government on behalf of its citizens on an issue that could be brought by the citizens. So this decision was the first of two decisions that I think forces Judge Hannon to dismiss the litigation. Now, there are two cases. Texas versus U.S. is the DACA pending case. U.S. versus Texas is the most recent Supreme Court case that was issued just last week on June 23rd, so just about 5 days ago. And in that case, in that particular case, Texas was suing to stop the implementation by the Biden administration of rules related to how it enforces the law. Well, that's what DACA is. DACA is rules related to how it enforces the law. Now, in the case, in the U.S. versus Texas case from SCOTUS, that was a policy memo. Hey, here's our enforcement priorities. And in the Fifth Circuit, in a fit of peak anger and an example of how wildly partisan they are, oh, it's perfectly fine to do that. The Supreme Court said no. In order to stop an action, the plaintiff must have standing to sue. That is a bedrock constitutional requirement. It's the first question you're asked. Do you have standing? When we file lawsuits, do we have standing to sue? This court says, based on the court's precedents and longstanding historical practice, states do not have standing to maintain a suit because the plaintiff, the state, must show injury in fact caused by the defendant and redressable about a court order. In the U.S. versus Texas case related to the ICE policy memo, this court found that the states would incur additional cost due to the challenged arrest policy and monetary costs or injuries. That's what the court said. But the Supreme Court has stressed that the alleged injury must also be legally and judicially cognizable. That requires that the dispute is traditionally thought to be capable of resolution through judicial process. And the Supreme Court said this: the states cite no precedent, history, or tradition of federal courts entertaining lawsuits of this kind. On the contrary, SCOTUS has previously ruled that a plaintiff lacks standing to bring suit when he himself is either persecuted or threatened with persecution. That's in the Linda S. versus Richard D. case, which dates back quite a while. Then the court said this: there are good reasons why federal courts have not traditionally entertained lawsuits of this kind. For one, the executive branch elects not to arrest or prosecute. It does not exercise coercive power over an individual's liberty property, and thus does not infringe upon interests that courts are called upon to protect. Moreover, such lawsuits run up against the Article II's executive authority to decide how to prioritize and aggressively pursue legal actions against defendants who violate the law. That's from the TransUnion case. The principle of executive branch enforcement discretion over arrests and prosecutions extends to the immigration context. Wow. Now, this is Texas. So you've got the Holland case and Bracken, probably called Bracken, and you got U.S. versus Texas. How does that play out in the context of the case? Well, here's what's interesting. The parties in that case, the defense of the case, filed a notice of supplemental authority about the Holland case. This is important because they said, hey, court, hey, you don't have authority. The Supreme Court just says you don't have authority. What's crazy, it's been 5 days. 5 days. And they still have not filed anything about the U.S. versus Texas case. Hey, you know, Biden, you folks, what are you doing? Why are you not filing notice of supplemental authority. You need to be doing this. So, I mean, it's been a week. You took a week last time. I said today is the time. But why are you not getting this filed? This is vitally important. The important thing to notice is that the opposing side, the Texas, has not filed anything as well when this is clearly relevant to the case. So my take on both the Holland case, as well as the U.S. versus Texas case, I think they compel Judge Hannon to dismiss. I don't think they're standing in this case anymore. I think it never was standing. But I think DACA comes back into full force and effect. Now, the only question is, how long will the judge take to do this? How long is he going to be in deciding this case? And that's the question we don't know the answer to. Because this is new case law, I would suggest that there will likely not be a decision from the court on this, probably for several weeks is my guess. Probably for several weeks. On the court's docket, there is a motion docket date of, looks like the response, it must be from the government, about 2 weeks. The government has 2 weeks to respond to this. I mean, the plaintiff, Texas, has 2 weeks to respond to this, to these motions for supplemental authority. And we'll see if they do. So I would suspect that we're probably not going to get a decision from Judge Hannon, I would guess, probably till August, maybe until September. But I do not see how he can legally at this point find that the state of Texas has any legal right to oppose this case, any legal right whatsoever to continue with the process. I don't see how that's viable. Now, somebody said, well, what about the driver's license? Well, what's the difference between driver's license and social service costs? It's the same thing. It is six of one and half a dozen of another. So if the Supreme Court says that state of Texas has no authority to interfere with federal government enforcement priority memo, then how does it have authority to interfere with a federal government regulation following the APA, as Hannon suggested that they do, that deals with enforcement authority? I don't see a way around this. Now, this has long-term application too. Let's say Trump comes back and he does crazy stuff. There's not going to be Hawaii versus Trump again. It's the same argument. How are you affected by this? You're going to have to get the state, you're going to get individuals to sue on this issue in a class action. But that's okay. There's ways to do this. So I think this case goes away. So I think DACA is coming back. If you have DACA, obviously be renewing it. If you have DACA and you haven't traveled and you don't have a lawful entry, you should be doing your advance parole, obviously. Everybody, some lawyers would say, well, lawyer told me I can't do that. Yes, you can do that. You can even do an advance parole for DACA if you have a removal order. Perfectly acceptable to do that. Perfectly acceptable. There's no problem in doing so. And if you got DACA before you're 18 and a half, your employer can sponsor you for a green card. If you have DACA and one of your parents is a permanent resident or citizen, an employer can sponsor you for a green card. I mean, too many DACA people are just sitting back waiting for some magic to happen. And one thing that's clear from all of this is that Congress is not going to give DACA kids green cards. They're not. There are not 10 senators who are going to vote for this. There's not. They don't exist. It's a myth. It's a myth. They don't exist anymore. If their major policy, if their major push in the next election is anti-immigration, why would they grant an amnesty or legalization? They would not. That's the key. They would not. So where DACA is today, I think DACA is, as a result of these two Supreme Court cases in Bracken and U.S. versus Texas, is in as good a place as it could possibly be. Now, I think the arguments as well, take those aside. I think the judge has to grant this. The government's motion for summary judgment, I think it has to die in the state of Texas. But these say basically, you have no standing. And as every lawyer knows, if there's no standing, there is no lawsuit. Just simple, easy peasy, lemon squeezy, as they say in the old country. So They're right with DACA. Where we're going, I think we're going forward. I don't think DACA is going to get green cards through a special act of Congress. But if you have DACA, or you have clients who have DACA, or you have friends who have DACA, you need to be asking them, do you have an employer who will sponsor? Did you get your DACA before you're 18 and a half? Are you married? Are you falling in love with somebody? Because obviously, if you travel and come back in, you have a lawful entry, your spouse can get you a green card. DACA, at its height, had almost a million recipients. Almost a million. That was at its height. Today, there's like 570, we don't have any new numbers from the government. They're still way behind on giving these numbers out. 570, 580,000 cases. What happened to the other 400,000 people? Most of them got green cards. I mean, 400,000 people get disqualified from DACA. They just got the green cards. They were married. They moved forward their lives. They got an employer to sponsor them. They got travel permission. These are the things you can do. Now, for those DACA applicants who filed in the first few months of the Biden administration, who've been holding on for 2.5 years, just a little more patience. I think in the next 3 months we'll have a resolution, and I really do believe that you'll be getting your DACA status. And of course, all the kids that aged into DACA and all those who didn't apply for DACA when they could have, I think you're going to be able to do that. I think that's going to happen. Now, if the judge finds there's no standing, I think the Biden administration, what they should do immediately is move the DACA date, move it forward to 2020. They should move it forward to 2020, at least. And a whole bunch more people can apply for DACA. I mean, DACA is not the be or end all. It's not the solution, but it's a great stopgap measure. And I think if they have any guts at all, that's what they'd be doing. And I think that'd be a great campaign issue. Look, Congress won't fix the law. We're going to use the authority given to us, the power given to us by Congress to decide who gets deported. And we're not going to deport kids. We're just not going to do it. Now, the other thing to note, one last thing on DACA. There are, as of June 15th, 2023, there are no more DACA kids in this context. In order to get DACA, you have to have been in the United States before you were 16, and you must have been here before June 15th, 2007. Well, June 15th, 2007 was 16 years ago, if I did my math right. So there are no more DACA kids. The DACA box is closed. There is a finite number of people that would be DACA eligible. That's why I think Biden should move it forward. They didn't move it forward for the quite clear reason, as they wanted to put an identical thing in front of the judge. Now, if Hannon rules against the government here, I mean, they take an emergency appeal to the Fifth Circuit. I don't see how the Fifth Circuit, in good conscience, because they're the ones that got struck down in this U.S. versus Texas case. They got slammed in that case. I don't see how they don't say, you're right. I mean, no standing, have a nice day, it's over. If they don't do that, I don't know how they don't go to if they do grant relief, they don't grant, if the Fifth Circuit says, yeah, we're not going to grant a stay, how does Biden not go to the Supreme Court and say, hey, look, this is a complete direct violation, grant a stay? So I think we're in really good shape with DACA. I'm happy with where we are. I think moving forward, it's going to be a relief that's going to fix a lot of problems for a lot of people. And hopefully, if you are a lawyer and you're doing these for your clients, you're helping them out. You're doing the right thing and making this possible. I've got DACA kids who have traveled and are now getting green cards through their children who are turning 21. Because keep in mind, you could be 30, you could be 31 and 30, 31 and get DACA, or 30 and get DACA 11 years ago. Now you're 41. You easily have a 21-year-old. Easily, I've probably got 4 or 5 people that I'm doing this for, which is why, again, why you should travel. Your kids turn 21. Even if DACA goes away, you travel and you come back in, you're fine. You're okay. And by the way, if DACA ends while you're traveling, so what? You'll still come back in. You know, the Biden administration isn't going to keep you out of the country. Your DACA, the only way, the court does not end work permits. They will just simply say, if they end it, it'll just wind down. But I see the chance of that almost zero at this point. I see the chance of that almost zero. I don't see that as really something that is going to happen. All right, everybody. It's been great being with you this week here on the Immigration Hour. We'll be back next Wednesday as well. Wednesday's our normal day to post these, to record them. If you have a topic that you think I should address, or you have a guest I should have, or you want to be a guest on the podcast, we're happy to do that. You can reach me at ccook, C-K-U-C-K, at immigration.net, or here at Cook Baxter. We're happy to help you in all your immigration needs, but we're also wanting to make sure that you are empowered with knowledge, that you have the information you need to make good decisions about your immigration case. Till next week, we'll see you then. Bye-bye.